At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Do you know your net worth? Or can you even list all your financial accounts? Believe it or not, most people can't. The problem is simple. When you don't track your finances, you leave hard-earned money on the table by overspending and undersaving. Monarch is the solution, an all-in-one personal finance tool that brings your entire financial life together in one clean interface on your laptop or phone. In just minutes, you can link all your accounts to see a clear, complete picture of your financial health. With data visualizations and AI-driven insights, Monarch helps you spot patterns, cut wasteful spending, and make better financial decisions without ever touching a spreadsheet. Monarch more than pays for itself. In fact, users save over $200 a month on average. That's why the Wall Street Journal named Monarch the best budgeting app of 2025. Get 50% off your first year when you use code TARGET at monarch.com. That's monarch.com, promo code TARGET. Monarch, the modern way to manage money.
Hey, y'all, welcome back to the Don't Mom Alone podcast. I'm your host, Heather McFadden, and this is the place where I get to walk alongside you and connect you with people and resources so you know that you don't mom alone. And in this episode number 525, I'm welcoming to the show Katie Kimball.
What do I mean, critical thinking? We need our kids to be thoughtful people, to be asking what might happen if I do that, you know, future casting. We need them to be asking, why am I doing this thing, right? Why am I door dashing? Or why am I sitting down? How am I spending my time? I think a lot of critical thinking too is building the muscle of resilience and adaptability and flexibility. And the only way that happens is if your life is a little bit exciting, if you have some responsibilities, you have some expectations, you got stuff that you got to do.
Katie is a mom of four. She's an entrepreneur, a writer, a teacher, a TEDx speaker, and she has been on a real food, natural living journey since 2005, which led her to write online at kitchenstewardship.com. And then she started teaching her own kids how to cook and other kids how to cook and created Kids Cook Real Food. And today we are talking about life skills. Why does it matter to teach our kids things from how to change oil to cooking to entrepreneurship to social skills? And it's so great that I get to connect you with her because she has a Life Skills Now camp that will be entirely free June 9th to June 13th, 2025, if you're listening in the future. You just click the link that's in the show notes to sign up. Definitely don't miss out on that because there's a list of over 100 practical, emotional, intellectual skills that your kids could learn and get them going on a great start this summer. I also love at the end of the episode an idea she shares about how their family manages the whole chores, responsibility, contribution deal in their house. And I'm inspired and I've implemented it. I've pitched it to my children. We're going to have our first trial run this weekend when I'm actually out of town. So I'll let Bruce handle that. But I think it's a great idea, especially if you have older kids and their schedules are busy, but you still want to encourage them and teach them on how to do things around the house and help contribute. So many good things in this episode. Let's get right to it. Here we go. Katie, welcome to the Don't Mom Alone podcast.
Thank you, Heather. It's good to be together with you.
Oh, man. We've met already, and I'm like, you know what? My listeners need to know what you're doing because you're up to a lot of stuff. And if there's anything with the Don't Mom Alone, I'm a big fan of like helping her connect with resources, and you have gathered quite a village of experts that we're going to get a mom connected with by the end of this conversation. But before we get to all of that, I'd love for her to know you a little bit. Tell us about like how many kids do you have? How did you even get into what you're doing? Tell us a little bit more.
I'm a mom of four. Right now they're 10, 13, 16, and 20, which is weird because he's not a teenager anymore. Woo! All the feels. And so I feel like, you know, at the one time I've been at it a really long time, and at another, like, the world changes so fast that you can't just put parenting on autopilot. You know, we got to figure out where my husband and I right now are talking about screens for the summer.
Like, I was literally going to say, do you have this figured out, Katie, with all of your info? Do you have this figured out? Can we get to that in a second?
Maybe we're working on it. I feel like it's always shifting.
Totally.
But I've been online for a really long time. I started out in 2009 teaching moms to stay healthy without going crazy. And then out of that, I kind of kept hearing the same story from moms like, Katie, this is really hard because I don't know how to cook at all. Like, it's not just cooking healthy. It's like, I was never taught to cook. And so that made me start thinking about our kids and just kind of even watching myself. Like, I'm a teacher by training, and I knew I wanted my kids to learn to cook and have life skills, but the more kids I had, the harder it got. You know, like, there's this one, I was really good when I had one child.
Right.
And totally. I was a largely stay-at-home mom. Like, he was very involved in the kitchen. And then I had child number two. She was like 15 or 18 months, and she wanted to do everything her big brother did. She climbed up, you know, wanted up on the chair next to him at the counter, and he was using a dull cheese knife to cut some apples up.
What kind of knife?
It's like a cheese knife. So basically a butter knife, but short. It was perfect for little hands. So I would slice the apples and he would cut the little slices into dices, right? Super safe. And she wanted to be up there. So I handed her another cheese knife that I thought was dull. And in like 2 seconds, she cut her finger because it was not that dull. And I was like, oh, like, I'm a failure as a mother. I can't have two kids in the kitchen. Like, just sort of cut it off. And even I got back into it a little bit, but it was so scary to me. And I thought, okay, if that's the, like, I have these big goals, I want my kids to cook, and I'm still kind of floundering. Like, what are these moms doing who are like, oh, like, I don't know how to cook. I'm not sure. Yeah. We're not passing on that which we're not comfortable to our kids. So I really started getting inspired to help moms then teach their kids to cook, so that we could stop that cycle, or else in 20 years, their kids would be like, oh, this is hard to be healthy. Like, I don't know how to cook either, you know? So that's when I started teaching kids to cook. And then after that, I am apparently bored with doing the same thing, because then I got into picky eating and got trained in that. And then I got all excited about teaching kids like all the life skills, not just cooking. And so that's where you were saying, like, I love to bring people together. Don't Mom Alone is perfect, because it's like, oh, like, all the experts I love to gather around me and just like soak up knowledge from them. So that's kind of what I do with the life skills. And I don't have it all figured out, but I can't wait to talk about like summers and handling it with you today.
Well, it is, because there is the gift of summer, I'm putting quotations, and the fact that technically there's more time. We can sometimes fall into the trap of overscheduling our summers, which I've been in those seasons before. And I'm like, why am I driving to camps every single day? I thought this was going to be a more relaxed experience. And anywho, every parent may do it differently. And when you're trying to balance a job and a summer, I know it's more stressful. But at the same time, in my brain, I'm like, okay, this is a good time to learn some new things. So when our kids were really little, I'd say, okay, what do y'all want to learn this summer? And it would be something like how to ride a bike, how to swim across the pool, you know. That mine are all teenagers, I feel like there's bigger skills that I want them to gain, but can feel at a loss. And so I feel like some of these life skills, either we as moms are doing for our kids too much.
Right.
Or we don't even think that's something I need to train them in. So what are your views on the whole life skills training?
It's so easy to get stuck in the day-to-day. Just yesterday, we had a very weird day because my youngest, he's in fourth grade, and he was supposed to be singing the national anthem with his little choir at a baseball game, but it was a rainy day. So like, they went, and then it was canceled, and then they came home. So he was home for like a very weird third of the day. And we generally have a rule for him, no screens on school days. But he was like, Mom, he's a very good negotiator.
Yeah.
It's a skill.
Yeah.
He was like, I've just been reading for nearly an hour. It is very rainy outside. And it's yucky. Do you think I could have some screen time? And I'm like, dang, that is such a good pitch. So I caved on the rule, strike one, Mom. And he set his timer. He ignored his timer when it went off. Like, it's just, you know, pushing. Then his middle school brother got home and they were like, it's such a rainy day. Can we play screens together, Mom? Because they know that I think screens are like a little more valuable if it's social. Don't you totally. Think? Like,
oh, yeah. If the boys, yeah, if they're playing a game together, that's how they totally win me. They're like, oh, yeah, we're playing together, Mom.
Right. So social screens
and all kinds of people together.
So now they're pitching me again, but it's still technically a school day and it should just have been an easy, like, no, you guys, you know the rule. But I was, my brain was breaking. I was like, ah, because I'd already said yes. So I felt like I was on like the slippery slope of acquiescence, like of letting them do what they wanted. And they were pitching and I couldn't think of anything else they should do. Well, he should have been doing his math that he has to do, like 40 minutes of multiplication drills every week. Like there's so many things he could have done. And that's what I was just thinking this morning. Like, oh, if I had been thinking straight, or if I had this list, you know, I feel like for the summer, we need this list of like, here are our resources. That when the kids are like, oh, screens, because it's all that they can think about is I want my screens, you know, that we're like, oh, there's five other things we can do. So I feel like that would be one way for families to use what I call our life skills now summer camp, where we have these 100 skills videos and 70 experts. And so it's like, sure, you want to do a little screen time? Well, let's do this productive screen time. You know, look at this list of 100, because every kid's going to see something that catches their eye. Then you have a little bit of motivation, a little bit of buy-in from them. And the idea is that they watch a short video, they get off the screen and they do something. So I'm like, gosh, I wish I would have done that yesterday with the boys, because it didn't actually go that well, as you might imagine, when I said yes and I should have said no.
It's like a, then you're not, you've lost your position as the one who decides. Yeah, I get that. That's real. That feels like the entire summer. It feels like we start strong in June, like, no, we're only going to do this much time. And then by August, it's just a free for all. And with older kids, it already feels like a free for all. I'm just trusting that their jobs start soon. They're going to be super busy and they just won't have time for a free for all.
Do you know your net worth? Or can you even list all your financial accounts? Believe it or not, most people can't. The problem is simple. When you don't track your finances, you leave hard-earned money on the table by overspending and undersaving. Monarch is the solution. An all-in-one personal finance tool that brings your entire financial life together in one clean interface on your laptop or phone. In just minutes, you can link all your accounts to see a clear, complete picture of your financial health. With data visualizations and AI-driven insights, Monarch helps you spot patterns, cut wasteful spending, and make better financial decisions without ever touching a spreadsheet. Monarch more than pays for itself. In fact, users save over $200 a month on average. That's why the Wall Street Journal named Monarch the best budgeting app of 2025. Get 50% off your first year when you use code TARGET at monarch.com. That's monarch.com, promo code TARGET. Monarch, the modern way to manage money. Do you know your net worth? Or can you even list all your financial accounts? Believe it or not, most people can't. The problem is simple. When you don't track your finances, you leave hard-earned money on the table by overspending and undersaving. Monarch is the solution. An all-in-one personal finance tool that brings your entire financial life together in one clean interface on your laptop or phone. In just minutes, you can link all your accounts to see a clear, complete picture of your financial health. With data visualizations and AI-driven insights, Monarch helps you spot patterns, cut wasteful spending, and make better financial decisions without ever touching a spreadsheet. Monarch more than pays for itself. In fact, users save over $200 a month on average. That's why the Wall Street Journal named Monarch the best budgeting app of 2025. Get 50% off your first year. That's just $50 total when you use code LEGACY at monarch.com. That's monarch.com, promo code LEGACY. Monarch, the modern way to manage money.
Yeah, tell me more with the life skills now. And you said there's 100 different sessions. Why are these life skills even important? Why do we even need to think about that? Like I mentioned, we do a lot for our kids, but what would even be a life skill? What would be on that list of things to learn?
Yeah, I mean, we look at life skills as anything from the hands-on, like how to unclog your shower drain or how to fold laundry or put sheets on a bed, household tasks like that, to a little more minds-on, like how to start a business and make money. And what do you do with your money? How do we get kids thinking about money mindset and finances and whether they want to spend and save and how much? And then the kind of the hearts on, so emotional regulation and how do we communicate with one another? How do we form social connections and make eye contact and shake someone's hand? Archaic skills like that, that I believe are still really helpful. So the pool is very wide, but I do think there are a lot of roadblocks for parents. They're like, well, listen, okay, first of all, it's way easier for me to do it myself. Second of all, everyone is saying kids need free play. We're just supposed to send them outside. And when how can we possibly steal their childhood by giving them chores? That's evil, Katie. So you're crazy, right? It's another roadblock. And then I think the third roadblock would be like, do they even need all these skills in the world that they're going to grow up in, this world of AI? Like, we don't even know, you know, what will be coming. And so I have a lot of answers to that, actually.
Yes, tell me.
So first, like, are we stealing their childhood if we give them chores or give them skills like cooking, entrepreneurship, finances? Like, it's not all right. About getting the laundry done.
Okay, so like, tell me one thing I want to do this summer, and I it just kills me to think about having to implement it, but I do think it's the right thing, is having each of my boys pick a meal for the week and kind of – I can even buy the groceries. Like, I don't mind doing that. But they're like picking – meal planning it, and then they're helping me cook it that night. One night.
Yep.
But this feels overwhelming. And so what would you say, like the whole chore thing, like – no, they're just supposed to be having free time.
Supposed to be having free time. Well, it's got to be a both and.
Okay.
Because yes, our kids absolutely need the creative space. They need to be bored. They need to figure out how to, you know, fill their own time. On the other hand, I mean, I think we're seeing a little bit right now with the anxiety statistics, what happens when kids just have all free time or, you know, overscheduled events. What happens when there's no expectations of a child is they don't feel like they have agency. And so when do we feel anxious? Even as adults, it's like when I have no control over my situation, that's when my anxiety goes up. And that's true for most people. And so the feeling of control comes with competency. If we're always doing things for our kids, they can't articulate it, but like subconsciously, they're kind of feeling like, oh, like my parent will take care of things. However, if my parent's not there, I'm screwed.
Yeah.
That's incredibly anxiety inducing. And so the best way to build our kids' confidence is to give them some competence. It's to give them a skill that they can achieve, whatever that skill is. You know, if it's a 5-year-old and they can cut up a cucumber and help nourish the family, awesome. If it's a 7-year-old and they can figure out how to make a little money for themselves, spend it on something they want and save a little. You know what I mean? Like that just feels so good. Like that's like winning the soccer game. You know what I mean? And so we put our kids in sports because we want them to have teamwork. We want them to have that feeling of success and that feeling of failure. But why not get those same results in real life? You know, real life skills that they can actually, they're probably not going to be playing soccer at 40, most of them, but they're still going to be eating. You know, they're still going to be earning money, managing money. They're still going to be having to communicate with other people. Even with AI, I trust that somehow we will still communicate with other humans. And so these skills, it's really giving them a gift to balance their summer with, heck yes, free play, kick them off the screen, send them outside for hours. And if it's like half an hour, though, of tasks, that's beautiful. And why does that cooking thing feel so huge to you? It's because cooking is so many steps. It's so many different little skills put together. Like you can't teach the skill of let's cook a meal, you know, in like
there's like 10, cutting 10 minutes. And sauteing and
yes.
Yeah.
So that's why it feels so big.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When we start our kids cooking a meal, by the way, this might work for you.
Okay.
They do the same meal every week for a while. Oh. So that they don't have to worry about the planning and like thawing meat and figuring out a new recipe and not knowing how long it will take and all those questions. They can just get that habit and kind of build that muscle of I go into the kitchen, I know what I need to do. We actually do it for a whole school year. But if you're wanting to like speed that up over the summer, I would recommend do want the same meal for like a month and then have them start to plan. Then like month two could be your favorite meal, you know, your standard meal, and then a new one. And then go back to that standard one and then a new one. And I think that helps the kids like not feel so overwhelmed as well. Because if you think about like yourself, when you make a new recipe, it's more stressful.
I'm the type of person to constantly do new recipes. I have not figured out. I'm I'm a flibberty gibbet compared to you, Katie. I mean, like, yeah, every week it's like, well, what new thing could I find today? I'm just making it harder. So then I have to get a whole new set of ingredients and a whole new, like.
But that must be your personality. Do you like the
novelty? I like the novelty, mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so some kids might love that. Like, for my daughter loves looking up new recipes. So it's, you know, it's flexible, but that might be one option to think about, just because you will see if you, even if they did the same recipe 4 weeks in a row, they start to sort of gain that mastery.
Yeah.
And that's a really good feeling.
That's great. That's a really good advice. Okay. What about with chores? You mentioned the chores mm-hmm. piece. And people define it differently. Like, this is your role in the home. Like, we used to do
right.
goals and roles. Like, what are your goals for this year? And what is your role in the family and your responsibility? Mm-hmm. And now, like, with the schedules of high school and middle school, I feel like we have rhythms of things mm-hmm. that they're responsible for, but I don't really have like a – I feel like they do less around the house okay. than they used to because of time constraints. But mm-hmm. how do y'all handle that?
I know the language – for some families, the language is so important. Like, as if it's a – if we say chore, you know, will they hate it?
Yeah.
If we call it family responsibility, yeah. maybe they'll feel better about it.
Contribution. Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't found the words to make much of a difference in our house, actually. But I think what's most important is that teamwork feel that mm-hmm. we all – I mean, every time we mention that the dishwasher needs to be unloaded, my kids will still act like – it's the worst thing ever that we just said, please pull off all your toenails, you know? And we're like, dude, it's like a 3-minute job. And so we say, you don't have to unload the dishwasher. You also don't have to come to dinner tonight. Like, but if you do want to eat, let's be a team here. And they're like, oh, fine. So it, like, please don't think that in my family, the kids are hot skipping to do their family responsibilities. It's not the case.
Yeah.
But I also know that they'll be capable. You know, when they're off on their own, they're hopefully not going to have like green stuff growing in their toilet, because they will see the green stuff and be like, oh, I know what to do with that. My son, who's 20, he just went a month ago with a couple guys, and they did like a guy's trip, like just, you know, high school and college age kids, no adults. They went to a hunting camp with no electricity. They planned all the meals. They did all the shopping. It was amazing. And from what he said, like, even the guys who maybe aren't cooking at home, they were like, oh, well, how can I help? It was awesome. And I think they came back more grown up. Mm-hmm. But if they had no skills, that would have been really, really difficult for them to even like bite off to think I can do this. And so that's what I want my kids to understand, that they're really building responsibility. They are contributing to the family. How we do chores is we have this list of chores that have to be done every week, and each kid just has to choose 6. So it could be they could do it throughout the week if they want. They could do it all on Saturday morning. Most of them kind of hit it on the weekends. They could choose different ones every week, like you probably would choose different responsibilities every week because you like novelty. A lot of my kids, I'll like try to grab the same one. They have
how do you even like – I feel like there would be fights. How do you even like, is it a snake draft? Like, are they?
It's kind of whoever gets to it first. But I think if there were fights, we'd have to set like, okay, at noon on Friday, or, you know, Friday after school or something. They're pretty good about just picking the same ones every week. So that's less fighting.
Is it like a list that you can write with like a dry erase? I'm getting super practical. A dry erase marker, it's, and they're like initialing next to it or something, or what?
Yep, it's exactly that. I printed one sheet out with, you know, little lines and little check boxes, and then it's in a sheet protector. So we use the dry erase markers. They put their initial next to it. They check it off when it's done. And then the accountability portion, of course, because if the parents never checked in, it would be a very empty
sheet.
That's
where we have the problem, is the not checking back in. Yes.
Yes. Well, they can do it whenever they want. By Saturday morning, especially when they were younger, we would mention it. Like, it's probably a really good idea to at least get half done on Saturday, because Sunday when we get home from church, that's the barrier. Like, that's the end, where if the chores are not done by then, no recreation happens. No screens, no books, no friends. You just got to get them done after brunch.
And then once they get them done,
it's over. Yeah. Like, life is back in their court. But so on Saturday, like, they could choose to do none on Saturday mm-hmm. if they want. They could choose to do half. They could choose to knock them all out. And so I think in a way that teaches like a budgeting mindset too, mm-hmm. where they're a little bit having to organize their time And it's interesting to see different personalities, you know, tackle them in different ways. Like my 13-year-old, he will try to bash them all out as fast as he can on Saturday morning when he wakes up. It's awesome. The 10-year-old's like, maybe I'll do two or three. Like tomorrow me will not care.
Okay, so list some of these things off because I'm trying to imagine 24 things. I can't even think of 24 things, but I'm probably doing them. You know what I mean? Just like how you were like, here's some life skills, eye contact, introduce yourself. I'm like, yes, those are great life skills. I hadn't thought that I need to teach those, but they do need to be taught those things. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what are on your list?
They're decently small chunks. So instead of like clean the bathroom, each bathroom is floor, countersink, toilet. So that's three things
okay. In
a bathroom. There's things like dusting the baseboards because they're white and they look really gross if you don't do that super regularly. Wiping down the stove because that always gets crazy after a week. What else is on there? Yeah, like dusting the living room, washing your own sheets, like you can, you know, choose. Or like if it's snowing and there's shoveling or if there's weeding to do, like that will kind of count. Like there's some seasonal stuff that pops in and out. Watering all the plants is on there.
This would be amazing. I could fire my cleaning lady. See, that's the thing.
Uh-huh.
Every other week, six ladies walk into our house and they just take over and everything becomes spotless. That would be
Which sounds so good. Like I'm tempted by that. I really want a cleaning lady. And every time I think about it, I'm like, but I wonder if my kids would get lazy. I would have them for sure be in charge of their own rooms.
Yeah. And I think our cleaning ladies, even if I kept them, would appreciate if in between there was maybe some maintenance with all the pets that we have and all of that. So yeah. And pet, like, I don't know if you have pets. Like, could that be a job or no?
Totally. I would totally put pets on there. All of our pets are their personal pets. They're snakes and toads and frogs. So they're just owned by one child.
No fur involved.
No fur. Nope.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So I'm sold on that. That sounds amazing. Do you get pushback from people that like what I said, like when the schedules get busy? Because it sounds like you figured out the time wise, like the weekends.
Yeah.
They get to kind of budget and they're kind of, that might help with the screens because they're having to realize, oh, I got to fit this in.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I think if you're like in travel sports or club sports and you're gone all weekend, I'm not sure what the answer is, to be honest. Like, I don't really know what that life feels like. A lot of my kids are in theater. And so theater will be like one really crazy week. And a lot of times we'll say like, you get a buy on your chores this week. It's okay.
Yeah.
Sometimes we don't. It just depends like how many hours they're out of the house and if they have time left. Actually, my 13-year-old was in a production like a couple weeks ago. And so he got up on Saturday and he was kind of like, hey, since my play's this weekend, I don't have to do chores, right? And I said, well, you don't have to be there till noon. Like what were you planning to do with the next 3 hours? Like he was planning to sit down and play games on his tablet. I'm like, no, no, you do not get a bye this weekend. Sorry, dude.
Sorry, you still have the time. Yeah.
So the hard part, I think, I mean, there's two hard parts with when it comes to time. One is like, when do we train them in the first place? Because you can't just say like, here, go clean the bathroom floor. It will not get done well. Certainly not a toilet or, you know, like dusting maybe might get done sort of well. You know what I'm saying? But like you have to like show them the first time. So I think that's like the first major hurdle is, gosh, Katie, I could set up this system and maybe I could make that work. But my kids don't even know what to do. And so that I think is, that's like a harder part for parents. And for that, it's all about having them do it with you. So I think about, for whatever reason, I thought cleaning the toilet was too gross for kids. So for a lot of years, I kept that one. I'm like, oh, you guys can, you know, I'll train you on these other things, but like, I'll keep the toilet. And then my youngest, he always got like the baby jobs because he remained the youngest, even though, you know, when he was eight, like when my other kids were eight, they were not doing the baby jobs because we had a new baby.
Yes.
Yeah. So the baby of the family, like he was always getting like sort of the easiest jobs. And I don't know what got into him. He probably regrets this now. But one day he was like, Mom, I want a job that the other kids can't do. I want you to teach me to clean the toilets. Okay. Like I do. I live in an alternate universe. I was like, this is a real child. Okay. He just, don't know what came over him. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
That's cool. And so we did it together. And when you think about doing something with a kid. I don't know. I'm an efficiently minded person. And so it just sounds horrible to me. Just, and I think for a lot of parents, they're like, oh, they're so slow. They're going to slow me down so much. But what does cleaning a toilet take? Like 3 to 5 minutes. Teaching it to the kid takes 5 to 7. So it's, I mean, we get it in our heads that it's going to be this terrible process and it's going to take forever, but it's literally a couple minutes. So, you know, you talk through it. We have more than one toilet in our house. Most people probably do. So I talked through the first one. We went to the second bathroom. He got to do it. Of course, it took forever. But so that first day, maybe it took 5 or 10 extra minutes. Then the next weekend, what I like to do is work side along with the kids because there's a lot more in the bathroom that needs to be done, right? So now he's doing the toilet. I'm keeping half an eye on him. I'm reminding him of all the bits he's forgetting because he was 8 and he was a boy.
Right. Yes.
But then I'm like, wiping the counters, you know, I'm sweeping the floor, do the mirror. Like I could get stuff done and he's happier to be doing that chore because there's someone there. Like there, it's that don't mom alone. It's that community feel. If you're doing a
don't
task.
Don't be in the bathroom alone. No.
Yeah. If you're doing a task in the same room with someone else, even if you're not chatting, everyone is like feeling a little more connected and a little happier. So that would be my recommendation is just like bite the bullet once. Train the kid in whatever it is, whether it's like measuring a teaspoon of salt, cleaning the toilet, making their bed, putting their stuff away, like everything. We got to think of it as small tasks, not clean the bedroom. It's dust the nightstand, you know, like how small can we make it? The smaller, the better, because then it's easier to bite off. So if you could just like, do that once.
Yeah. Well, and I'm thinking for the mom who's like, no one ever taught me how to clean a toilet. Like, how am I supposed to teach? And so that's what we love about this Life Skills Now camp. To kind of talk, go back to that is, oh my goodness, if you were never taught the thing, you can learn alongside your kids. I'm going to list off some of the tracks that you have. You have communication and mindset track, entrepreneurship track, finance track, hands-on skills track. Like these are the things, you know, even raising baby chicks, which that's not going to be on my list, but like how to sew 2 pieces of fabric together. That's kitchen confidence. There's a neurodivergent families track, organizing your life, real world readiness, taking care of yourself on the inside. I love that. Taking care of yourself on the outside, tech savvy, parent professional, preschool parent. I mean,
it's packed.
That's a lot.
It's packed. And we do find, I love hearing the stories of the families learning together. You know, so like, not only, yes, there's a parent professional development track. So moms will say, I love that like my kids will watch their video and then they can see that I'm, you know, I get to watch my video too. And they see that parents are lifelong learners as well. But then there's so many where the families are literally learning together. Like a couple of years ago, we had like how to check your tire pressure in your car, you know, and check the treads and stuff and check the oil, like all these auto maintenance stuff. And we labeled it 15 and up because we're like, why would anyone younger need to know how to do that?
Yeah.
But then we'd hear these stories like, oh, like my 4-year-old and my 6-year-old were so excited to do this with their dad. Ah, right? Like they're jumping up and running out and putting the penny in the tire and checking the oil. And I'm like, okay, that's so sweet. And then, yes, a lot of families are learning things together. And I can imagine this year that there will be some too. Like there's a lot of adults who don't know how to sew. And we've got 4 sewing workshops this year. So I guarantee people will be learning literally with their kids. There's when you first sign up, you get a couple workshops right away. So you don't have to wait till our free camp week. And one of them is how to organize like a butterfly. And so the camp leader explains really quickly that kids and adults think about organizing differently. It's this 7-minute video. So little kids are learning how to put away their toys. Super easy. But adults are sort of getting their minds blown like, oh, this is why my kid never picks up his toys because I've set up an adult style organization system and I need to set up the baskets and bins like a child thinks. And so that's really, really cool because they're both going to be learning their own separate thing in a stinking 7-minute video, which is like nothing, you know, like 7 minutes. Yeah. You could do that at breakfast.
That's great. And just so you all know, I know this episode goes live June 2nd, but the camp is free. What week is it? June 9th?
June 9th to 13th. Yeah.
9th to 13th. So mark it down. Sign up. The link's in the show notes.
And if you're listening later, we always have something. Like we always have a couple free workshops all throughout the year when it's off time.
and so many other things that you have related to, like if you were listening to us talk about our kids, getting our kids to cook, Katie has a whole kids cook real food.
Yeah.
Whole course on that. Kitchen stewardship. That's your other thing.
That's my blog. Yeah. Where I used to be active there teaching moms like how to find good deals on groceries and how to think about lower toxic living and all sorts of stuff there.
Do you know your net worth? Or can you even list all your financial accounts? Believe it or not, most people can't. The problem is simple. When you don't track your finances, you leave hard-earned money on the table by overspending and undersaving. Monarch is the solution, an all-in-one personal finance tool that brings your entire financial life together in one clean interface on your laptop or phone. In just minutes, you can link all your accounts to see a clear, complete picture of your financial health. With data visualizations and AI-driven insights, Monarch helps you spot patterns, cut wasteful spending, and make better financial decisions without ever touching a spreadsheet. Monarch more than pays for itself. In fact, users save over $200 a month on average. That's why the Wall Street Journal named Monarch the best budgeting app of 2025. Get 50% off your first year. That's just $50 total when you use code LEGACY at monarch.com. That's monarch.com, promo code LEGACY. Monarch, the modern way to manage money.
So you're probably the type that's like achiever type. How do you handle, because for my husband, we have this debate going back and forth on the whole kids contributing. He's like, I can do it faster and I don't want to have to manage getting them to do it, which I feel like you solved that with what you said about like the time, like it has to be done by this time or there's a natural consequence. But do you feel that inner struggle? Like you kind of mentioned having to teach them was an inner struggle, but like how do you struggle with the ongoing maintenance not being done well or efficiently?
Yeah, for sure. We have like my two older kids, we no longer have to check the quality of their work, but the younger ones, that's part of their system is before they are released in that like after brunch Sunday time, they have to get their work checked because they don't always finish. They get distracted. They don't always put the broom away or they, you know, forgot to sweep half the room. So yes, it is ongoing. Yeah. Kids are, they're a work in progress. Their brains are still building. And I just think that we've got to like give ourselves a little parental pep talk that if we do it all for them, when will they do it? Because there's a couple options. Either they keep living at home forever and let us keep doing for them.
Yep.
You know, hopefully that's not our goal.
Yep.
Or we like, what do? We go to college with them. We go to their first apartment with them. Like that doesn't seem sustainable. Or we're throwing them into the deep end and going like, well, good luck, kid. We'll boot you out and you figure it out. But I just feel like that's where a lot of stress and anxiety comes in for like even our generation. I don't know. I knew a little bit. I guess I knew a little bit. But I think right now, a lot of our young adults, like they do not know how to adult.
Yeah.
You know, they don't know how to clean. They don't know how to cook. They don't know how to grocery shop or meal plan. They're not managing their finances well. And it's incredibly stressful. I just saw, Heather, that the U.S. fell off the list of the top 20 happiest countries in the world. We fell off. We're not in the top 20 anymore for the first time in decades. And it's the fault of, or it's the
cause is
fault. Yeah. The cause is the young people. It's the teens in the 20s because their anxiety is so high that they're not ranking well on like whatever the 6-point happiness scale. And I just think we can stop that. So even though it is easier, it's faster to do it ourselves in the short run, ultimately it is easier when your kids do know stuff because you get a little break. Like it definitely takes me less time to check the work being done than to do it all myself. That's not why I teach my kids. You know, it's not a selfish thing, but that is, you know, an advantage to look forward to. Ultimately you get some time off because three of my kids make a meal once a week, all the time.
That's amazing.
So that alone, like three dinners off a week, that's crazy time saver.
Well, or money saver that you're not door dashing. I think that's part of that finance thing for this next generation. They're like, well, I'll just door dash some McDonald's. It's like double whammy.
Yeah, literally we have a workshop on that, on the cost of convenience. And it's so impactful how much is when you add in compound interest. So like if you like, let's say you do, you know, a $5 expense every day because of convenience, whether it's the coffee or like the guy kind of walks through the camp leader walks through different ways like DoorDash. That you would add to the cost of what you're doing. And so if a high school kid were to save $5 a day on the weekdays only, that's $1,000 by the end of the year. And if they invest that and don't touch it ever again, it's $250,000 by retirement. Like what?
Yeah.
So the choices they make now can hugely impact their life, where it feels like, $5, who cares? That workshop's so powerful in how it'll get kids thinking.
The critical thinking, yeah. The thinking about, and not just, I feel like if they're in this mode of the coach is always telling them what to do, the teacher's always telling them what to do, the parent's always telling them mm-hmm. what to do, they're just reacting and responding to what's required of them. And they're not even like engaged in their whole life. When they do get the freedom to make those choices, they're like, that's hard. I'd rather do the default doom scrolling and just DoorDash the food, like, mm-hmm. like planning and executive functioning skills. Do you find like all this thinking critically? I know you have a TED Talk situation on this.
Yes. I'm a huge fan of critical thinking, but we have to give our kids forums in which to practice their critical thinking. And it can matter a lot, like when they're in their 20s and they're like, what am I going to do for a career? You know, who do I vote for? How do I align my politics? Like those decisions make a very big impact on their life potentially. But, you know, like how do I dust well? Or how do I fuel my body when my parent is still here to help me make these decisions? Like it's just so much safer for our kids to be making decisions and practicing their critical thinking when they're under our roof because the stakes are not so high.
Yeah.
Right? If you have your boys make one dinner a week and they completely botch the meal, you're probably out $20. It's a bummer, but you're there to talk them through it. They can think about the next time and make plans. It's not like if they're, you know, having a girlfriend over or, you know what I mean? The stakes just are so much higher when you're a young adult.
And they won't take the risk because they haven't
had practiced. The confidence.
Yeah.
Yes. And you've got to like exercise that muscle of risk taking too. So chef's knives, really great for that.
Chef's knives? What did you
say? Oh, yeah. Like any sharp knife is practicing taking that beneficial risk. Really good for kids.
Okay. Okay. And some people are probably like, critical thinking. What do you mean critical thinking?
What do I mean critical thinking? We need our kids to be thoughtful people, to be asking what might happen if I do that, you know, future casting. We need them to be asking, why am I doing this thing, right? Why am I door dashing? Or why am I sitting down? How am I spending my time? I think a lot of critical thinking too is building the muscle of resilience and adaptability and flexibility. And the only way that happens is if your life is a little bit exciting, if you have some responsibilities, you have some expectations, you've got stuff that you got to do. It can be really hard for kids when plans change.
Yeah. Is there like a prompt or like a scenario? I know we've been talking about responsibilities, but is there another way that we can, even if it's at the dinner table, kind of get that concept of critical thinking going as parents?
Yeah. I mean, I think entering into conversations that aren't black and white, and you and I, we both have like older kids. You wouldn't do this with a 5-year-old.
Right.
But my youngest, when he was about 8, he went through a phase where he was like, well, what's the healthiest food in the world? Mm. Like, and you can ask Google. We have a Google Home. He'd be like, hey, Google, what's the healthiest food in the world? And I'm like, oh no, like this is going to make it like it's a real answer when there's really like 1,000 answers.
Right. And so yeah, what's health? Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Healthy for whom, you know, and healthy for what? And so those are the kinds of questions that I want to encourage parents to ask, you know, is why are we, if it's at the table, why are we eating what we're eating? How is this going to fuel your body? How does food make you feel? It's not only critical thinking, but owning your health, which is, I think, another gift that we can give to our kids. It's really hard to pass on is them actually caring about their health or thinking about how food makes them feel. Just that idea about like, why is this healthy? Why might we eat this? Why might we not? Because it's never black and white.
Yeah.
And so to stretch the brain to see that messy middle and be okay with maybe there not being an answer is really good. Finances are a great way to talk about this too. How much do we spend? What is worthy of spending our money? You know, how do we decide if we can go on that vacation or spend on, you know, eating out versus eating in? These are just questions that we don't want to give our kids our stress. Like, it's not like, oh my gosh, we are, you know, in a bad place as a family. We don't have enough money. Like, it's not about that. It's about letting them see you think through things and be a critical thinker yourself.
Yeah, I love that. And that's the solve for the AI, right? We're the boss of the AI right now. We're the ones who get to say, no, that's not a good answer, or how to phrase the question or give the right prompt for the robots. No, this has all been so good. Thank you, Katie, for joining me. And I hope you all do check out this Life Skills Now camp if you're not convinced already. So many great things. I'm thrilled to get to my boys on the entrepreneurship track, because so much of college applications now is, if you want to be a business major, you need to show that you've started a business when you're 12. I don't know. No. There's stakes are so dumb right now. But yeah, if they want to, they've got to learn somewhere, and we can model as much as we want. But yeah, this explicit teaching is really helpful.
Well, and having other experts on your parenting team too, because I don't know everything. That's part of being a real vulnerable parent and a critical thinker too, is I don't know, but maybe we can have someone else,
They might listen to them more than you when they're teenager.
It's so true.
They're an expert more than you are. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Heather, we set up a special page for your folks. They can go to kidscookrealfood.com/don'tmomalone. And so, right, if it's before June 9th, you can sign up for, this season of camp and get all those 100 workshops. But anytime in the off season, that'll be a special little page with 4 free workshops. One is in the entrepreneurship track. One is one of those auto maintenance that I talked about. So they're just kind of spanning different age groups and different categories.
Thank you.
Of course.
That's so kind. You're so thoughtful. You really do think critically, Katie.
My brain doesn't turn off. That's the trouble.
You need a rest track.
I do.
How to rest well. I do. Rest is productive, Katie. It's productive.
You can take a break. I'll put that on a post-it, Heather
says. Put it on a post-it. Yes, yes. Well, thank you for joining me today. I really appreciate it. And I hope y'all connect with all of the goodness over there. Okay. I hope you're inspired and encouraged. And I know I was. I know I immediately thought, okay, I'm going to talk to Bruce about this. So I did. And I came up with a list of activities around the house that would contribute. We landed on the fact that we wanted every boy to take care of cleaning their sheets and making their own beds and folding their clothes once a week. That would be a good start. And then I came up with 12 other jobs or zones and had each boy pick 3 that they have to do by Sunday afternoon before they can do anything on a screen or with friends. Anyway, we'll see how it goes. I don't know if you're like me and you kind of get desperate. You're like, something, we've got to try something to help get these kids skills. And even my oldest, my college kid, when I was passing the chart around, he's like, guys, this is really important. And he was talking about a friend who their roommates did nothing, no dishes, no cleaning the bathrooms. And it can kind of put a strain on your relationships in the future. So anywho, I was going to share some of the questions that Megan wrote for our podcast club members. One is, if you could pick 2 life skills to teach your kids this summer, what would they be? Are you organizing chores in a way that your kids understand? What is your response when your kids ask questions that are not clear? Are you able to allow them to think outside the box and critically? Anyway, these are some of our questions from our podcast club. And I don't know if y'all know anything about podcast clubs. Basically, you just get together with whoever your friends that you normally see or you want to see more. Before you get together, you listen to the episode on your own, and then we provide questions for you guys to kind of talk about. It's an excuse to gather, okay? And this summer, we do something called the Summer of Mentorship, and it's 6 weeks of republished previous episodes that y'all can say, hey, do you want to do the Summer of Mentorship with me? And it's July 11th to August 18th. And you don't have to meet every single one of those weeks. But if you want something to do, maybe in between, maybe your church normally has a Bible study, but they're off for the summer, but you want a way to still see people. Anywho, I thought I'd throw you those dates out to y'all so you could plan ahead for that. But I'm going to pray for us. Lord, I thank you that you did make us critical thinking humans who really do thrive in problem solving and in doing work, which is good. And also rest is good, like we talked about last week, but that we could instill in our kids just the capability and the responsibility of caring for the things that they have and the place that they live, and that we can equip them for good futures and just instill in them this resilience that will carry them through the rest of their life. I thank you for people like Katie who are organized and create these great opportunities for us to learn more. And I pray over our summers that they would be a mix of grace and connection and memory making and just rest. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, y'all, I'll meet you back here next week. We have a special guest. It is the Global Director of Public Policy from Meta, and she is talking to us about their teen accounts. And, you know, I don't do these hard-hitting, you know, Fox News, CNN level interviews, so I was a little nervous for this one, but I think it went really well, and I hope that you gain some insights from her about what Meta is trying to do with Instagram and other things. And I shared with her some ideas I have that they could do. So anyway, join me back here next week. Thank you for sharing with your friends and have a good one. Bye.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Don't Mom Alone podcast. If you're wanting to connect with more people and more resources to help remind you that you're not alone, head over to don'tmomalone.com. That's where you'll also find show notes with any links mentioned by our guests. Most importantly, I want you to know the good news, the great news that you're not alone because God has promised to always be with you. With faith in Jesus Christ, the one who died for you and rose again, Jesus said when he left, he was going to leave a helper, a comforter, to be with us. God in us. Moms, that's superpower. So while you're washing dishes at your kitchen sink, while you're driving to and from work, while you're feeding that baby late into the night, while you're cleaning sticky floors, God promises to be just as present with you as when you're worshiping in a church pew. As it says in Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He takes great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing. Now that's good news. Have a great day.